And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the end of something. Each of my guests is talking about the end of something and how we can get it back. My next guest works for Gallup, the polling company. He's pioneering the study of and the science of organizational barriers. We'll discuss how companies are destroyed from the inside out and what you can do about it from his latest book, Breaking the Fear Barrier. And as always, if you want to ask a question or join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. And a big shout out to Veronica out in Santa Paula. She was the winner of the two sandwiches or two salads from Urbane Cafe. She was our fourth caller. Thank you very much, Veronica, for being a loyal listener. And for all the rest of you that called in and didn't win, we'll have more giveaways tomorrow and Friday. My next guest, Tom Rieger, is the senior practice expert for Gallup. Tom was pioneered the study and the science of organizational barriers. He's an expert in applying behavioral economic principles to overcome or outcome complex business systems and how they self-destruct and how to correct these problems. He has been the recognized leader in developing methods and frameworks to identify and remove barriers to organizations and societal success. Tom is also an expert in the international research and polling methods and developing and applying statistical models to complex organizational histories. Tom has received a master's degree in industrial administration from Carnegie Mellon University's Tepper School of Business. He currently lives in Orange County, California. Joining us from Orange County, hi Tom, how are you today?
Great, Bill. How are you doing?
Well, I am terrific. Thank you for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. And let's dive right into it, because these are very interesting times. Most business gurus out there are looking at the Great Recession, and they're saying that workers are hunkered down, they're riding out the storm until the economy turns around, and then they're probably going to jump ship. This hunkering down has had many, many negative impacts, however. First of all, we've got a disengaged workforce in many cases, and there's a real fearful work environment because most people fear or think that they may get laid off at any time, and that's always a fearful environment to live and work in.
Sure.
And so to minimize the fear of being laid off, workers look for ways to increase their importance to a company, many times in a negative way. In fact, you found out that there is also this fear of staying in a toxic work environment, and that the fear of working in a toxic work environment is damaging to a company. So give us the three conditions within a company that create this toxic or this fearful work environment that you write about in your book.
Sure. Thanks for that intro, and you're absolutely right. The fear within organizations is extreme right now. I've been studying, as you mentioned, organizational and consumer behavior since 1987, and I have never seen so much fear in the workplace. And what happens is within organizations, when I talk about fear, I'm really talking about fear of loss, about losing something. It could be a bonus, it could be decision rights, it could even be a corner office. But those things tend to lead people to try to protect, and it happens in three ways. As a company starts to grow and as business becomes more complex, if that business and that growth isn't managed carefully, what happens is what I call parochialism. By necessity, you have to start dividing up functions and narrowing focus. You have to split HR into recruiting and training. You have to split up sales and marketing and put people in charge of those different functions. Sometimes, though, if those goals and that vision and that filter is too narrowly focused, people start to define the world by what I call the piece and not the puzzle. They lose sight of the world outside and start building policies and rules to protect their ability to just check off that one box, even if it makes it harder for others in the organization to succeed. That's parochialism.
All right.
As parochialism starts to build, other managers may be sitting there thinking, wait a minute, I've got to meet my goals. And it's becoming harder and harder to do that. You know, you may have IT, for example, has enough budget to do three initiatives. They have requests for 50. So I've got to be very careful and very tightly control everything under my purview and my span of control. And that leads to territorialism. It leads to hoarding information, hoarding resources, and especially exerting excessive control over your headcount, even though others may need exceptions, others may need to share in what you have. And sometimes territorialism isn't enough, and that leads to the third level, which is empire building, where my self-sufficiency may be threatened, so I may try to take over another department or create a duplicate function of my own. And that's where, especially during budget season, you just see open warfare.
All right. My guest is Tom Rieger, author of the book Breaking the Fear Barrier, and the three scenarios are parochialism, territorialism, and empire building. But, Tom, aren't bureaucracies and barriers inevitable in any company?
Sure. You know, every company needs rules. Every company needs to protect itself against certain things. And I would argue that this exists both for good and bad in all organizations. The key is, for every rule and policy you create, there's a few things you have to think about. First, is there a need, a valid need, that the rule is meant to fulfill? And is that need related to strategy or just some local group's ability to do what they need to do regardless of the impact on others? So you always have to think about that collateral damage. And secondly, you know, what's the rule trying to protect versus what's the rule trying to prevent? And if it's preventing more than it's protecting, then maybe you have to adjust it. You know, a lot of these rules and policies are what I call gospels. They're absolutes. No matter what, you have to do X. Like, you ever call a call center and it just goes horribly wrong?
All the time.
And at the end of the conversation, the rep says to you, is there anything else I could help you with? And you just want to strangle them. But they have to say that because that's a gospel that they have to say no matter what at every call. So with the best of intentions, these rules and bureaucracies are put in place. But not always thinking about the bigger picture and the downstream consequences.
All right, that makes some sense, Tom. My guest is Tom Rieger. And Tom, to help make this a little bit more solid for my listeners, particularly your thesis about looking at the piece and not the whole puzzle, give us an example from within a company how two different divisions or two different parts of a company can be acting in their own way and it's actually mutually destructive for the company.
Sure. We dealt with one organization, a sales and marketing arm of a pretty big consumer electronics manufacturer. And you had the sales group that was, of course, incented to sell as much product as they possibly can. And you had the inventory control group that was incented to make sure that the inventory control costs were low and that warehouse was empty at the end of the month. But the sales force wanted it full at the end of the month so they could make those last-minute sales. When you looked at how the goals and the product allocations were made, one of those two groups were destined to fail. The numbers just didn't add up because there wasn't that broad organizational view. Instead, there was a very parochial view on each department's success, so someone was going to fail.
All right, well, let's use that same example if we can, Tom. I mean, it's good for you that you were brought in as a consultant, but why is it the leadership within that company was blind to the bureaucracies within their own organization?
You know, like I said, these things are all created with the best of intentions. You know, a strategy may be just fine, but in the execution, you may not always consider all these different things. Now, that said, anytime we go in and do this work, I ask the CEO or the most senior person I can get to two questions. The first question is, are you willing to look in the mirror? And the answer has to be yes, or we're wasting our time. And secondly, tell me if anything isn't on the table, otherwise I'm going to assume it is. Because a lot of times you may hear, well, that's how we've always done it here, but that may not make sense anymore. That's what I call a ghost. It's something from the past that's haunting the organization and creating all sorts of damage. But leaders have to drive this, and they have to be very deliberate about keeping that alignment and being aggressive about enabling courage, watching out for barriers, and making sure that you don't have a whole bunch of silos of dream castles being built in the lower parts of the organization.
Oh, now I like that. And you touched upon the word courage, which is one of the fundamental parts of examining any organization. So what's the leadership's role in removing these barriers and removing these silos? And obviously it comes back to courage. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, there's a number of things you have to do. You have to create a unifying mission. You have to make sure your rules are set. But let's focus on the courage piece. There's multiple types of courage. One type is vital courage, V-I-T-A-L, vital courage. That's the survival instinct. That's doing something for me, myself, my family. It's instinctive. It's hardwired into our brains. Then there's moral courage, which is doing something for a greater purpose or a greater good. That's, in this case, is what's good for the company. Companies, time and time again, don't consider both factors when putting something in place. Let me give you a quick example. One collections group from a financial services company set up a performance management system where they paid their team leads based on the average dollars per hour collected by their team, which makes sense, mm-hmm. until it's time to promote someone. So if I promote my best performer, who may also have the most management talent, I just give myself a pay cut. And I've also guaranteed a terrible performance review because my numbers will drop. But if I get rid of a problem guy who could barely tie his shoes, much less manage anyone else, I've given myself a raise. So in one case, it's moral without vital. In another case, it's vital without moral. Another company we worked with had the same problem. They offered that original manager a bonus if the person they promoted succeeded, and that took care of the problem. So these things can be addressed, but you have to be very strategic and very deliberate about them. You can't just put words up on the wall saying we're going to be courageous. You actually have to work at it.
My guest is Tom Rieger, author of the book Breaking the Fear Barrier, How Fear Destroys Companies from the Inside Out and What to Do About It. And Tom, we have been focusing exclusively on businesses because most of the people listening to the sound of our voice are in business, but
sure.
Most of us associate bureaucracy with government. So how do your principles apply to government compared to business?
You know, I'll say two things. One is the government entities themselves, and the second is in dealing with the entity of the United States economy. First, government organizations are organizations like any other, and they're subject to the same bureaucracies, the same barriers, the same types of fear of loss that we see in the private sector. People are people, and jobs are jobs. Now, there are a few subtle differences, you know, especially as it relates to the regulatory environments and so on, but a lot of the same things apply. Now, in terms of the bigger picture and the broader environment, I think there are three things that are hugely lacking right now. First is we don't have an overall mission to focus on, and that's one of the first things in companies that I say you need. You need to plant a flag in the ground and rally behind it. This country can do amazing things when it has that. Look at the space race in the 60s.
Right.
The second thing, once you have that, is we need to focus on the barriers to the things we want to accomplish as a country. What about removing barriers to job creation and actually focusing on that? What's preventing companies from doing that? And the third thing is this concept of loss aversion that creates all this damaging behavior in companies. You know, all our conversation right now is about who's going to give up what and not what can we accomplish together. People will fight to avoid a loss even if it means preventing a gain. And that comes from some work by Nobel Prize winner Daniel Kahneman that he calls prospect theory. There's twice as much pain in a loss as joy in a gain. So if we're all focused on avoiding giving something up, I guarantee you everything's going to screech to a halt instead of trying to focus on something that we could do together.
Well, in what ways, Tom, does this fear of loss that you're talking about, this loss aversion, how does that foster a sense of entitlement amongst government workers in positions that they presumably could have for life?
You know, I don't think it's exclusive to government. I think it happens in any organization where you get to a point where people stop thinking of it as the department I work in, and they start thinking of it as my department, my budget, something I'm entitled to. There's something called the endowment effect. Once you give something to someone, it increases in value, but only to them. So the reference point or the expectation level that that person has is going to be higher, and the desire to protect is going to be higher than anyone else who's saying, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. You know, it's kind of like fighting with your spouse over a useless piece of junk that has sentimental value to one person but not the other. Things have value once you own it, and it has value to you.
My guest is Tom Rieger, author of the book Breaking the Fear Barrier. So we have a pretty clear picture, Tom, of what fear can do to an organization. Give us some examples of what barrier-free organizations might look like. Are there any companies out there that we might know that we can relate to?
Yeah, you know, I can't mention specific clients without their permission, but what I can tell you is where we've done this and our clients have followed through and done things right, it just feels like a different place. We've seen dramatic drops in turnover. We've seen dramatic improvements in customer scores and customer relationships. We've seen improvements in other metrics, but that's not what I really care about. I like to go into these places that we stripped out the barriers and enabled the courageous behavior and aligned around a mission. It feels different. There's energy. There's life. You go from people hunkered down on their desks trying to be invisible to being out there working together, smiling. And that's when you see the jumps in the business outcomes. In one call center for a bank, we doubled their first call resolution and improved their customer service scores. Another organization we just worked with saw dramatic improvements in their customer loyalty scores just by unleashing that human potential.
Wow. I mean, that is incredible. My guest is Tom Rieger, author of the book Breaking the Fear Barrier. Tom, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Breaking the Fear Barrier?
You know, Bill, that's a great question. What I want people to know is if you're sitting in your office and you're looking out the window and you're thinking, how can I possibly succeed? How can I fight all these rules and these practices and these other departments that are making my life miserable and all these things that don't make sense? I would remind you of one thing. Nowhere is it written that on the eighth day God created barriers and bureaucracy. These are things company did to themselves, or maybe you've done to yourself inadvertently. And if you did it to yourself or your company did it internally, it can be unpacked and dismantled internally. So there is hope. It's going to take some work, and it may ruffle some feathers, but it can get better, and we've seen some pretty dramatic stories as a result.
Now, that is great. Now, Tom, what did you get out of writing this book?
You know, when I was doing the original research, I really didn't expect to see this sort of thing. It was like seeing the same film again and again, where it didn't matter what the problem was in a lot of these companies. When you really unpacked it, what was making them stall was fear, and I just thought that was a story that needed to be told. It was a little bit of a different spin, and that's really what I'm trying to do, is give that hope, to try to foster, you know, that inspiration that, you know what, these things that seem impossible and all these things that don't make sense, they're there for a reason. Barriers are born with the best of intentions. So if you get down to that original need, there's usually a better way, and that's what I'm trying to get to, is help people find that better way.
And you do. I've been talking to Tom Rieger, author of the book Breaking the Fear Barrier, How Fear Destroys Companies from the Inside Out and What to Do About It. Tom, we've only got a couple seconds left. If people want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I'd look at Gallup.com. There's a site for the book and any online retailer.
Thank you so much, Tom, for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure.